At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news this Friday, the 19th of December, 2025. Also, Amrin press conference coming in at lunchtime, but we're going to start off talking about Bruno Fernandes exposing a huge tactical issue that many of us have spoken about before, but Bruno Fernandes basically inadvertently exposing Amrin's biggest mistake this season. We'll talk about that. Also, we're going to discuss the budget in January, because if you take it as what we were talking about last night, United are going to go all in for Semenyu. They're looking at a midfielder as well. What budget do we have in January? Where has this money come from? Or are we being spun? You know, that's something I think I've seen a few people talking about this morning. Are we actually being spun here? Because United want two midfielders, they want Semenyu. You're talking 100 million quid. Where's all this coming from? How are we doing this? Because there's a big update around Maynou this morning and how United will not sell him on the cheap, and no one's going to have the money for him in January. So what is actually the truth around January, and what we're going to do? Also been linked to a Juventus player. Some interesting stuff. Again, I just feel like this Villa game on Sunday, it's almost like United are chucking as much distraction as they can away from what could be a disappointing result on Sunday, surrounded by a disappointing result against West Ham, Everton and Bournemouth at home, and then Newcastle on Boxing Day. We could be heading into a bad patch. So is this why United are throwing up stories from a couple of years ago about Dan Ashworth and Ten Hag and Tuchel, which we'll talk about in a bit anyway. But as always, get your thoughts in. I mean, look, we got linked to Ruben Neves last night. We've actually got a very, we do the polls on here, either or. Ruben Neves, Conor Gallagher. It's a live poll at the moment. 53% are Ruben Neves, 47% are Conor Gallagher. Both very, very realistic. Both improve our midfield. In fact, I would say those two, I'm not even worried about being on TikTok for this. I'd rather have Ruben Neves and Conor Gallagher as our midfield than Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro. In fact, I would rather have them so much. I think if our midfield too was Ruben Neves and Conor Gallagher, we'd be more disciplined, we'd have better balance, we'd get the ball into the feet of Mbeumo and Cunha better, and we would be in the top four. They're a better midfield too than what we have. People get lost on Casemiro's won Champions Leagues and Bruno's a brilliant player, but in the midfield, they would be a better midfield too. They've got more legs, more discipline, and they're specialists in that position. So definitely better. But that feeds lovely into where I want to start the show today. I saw a very interesting quote from Bruno Fernandes from his recent interview. And he was asked about why he takes so many risks on the pitch. And he said, "If I didn't take risks, no one would say Bruno loses the ball or misses his pass. I could play it safe, make backward or sideways passes, but that's not the player I am. If I did that, I would not be useful to the team. I take risks to help my teammates score goals." And I think this completely and utterly vindicates everything we as United fans have been saying for 6 months and completely and utterly undermines and ridicules Ruben Amorim's decision to shoehorn him into the midfield. Because the player, I mean, if I was Amorim, I'd be sort of like, cheers for that, Bruno. You've absolutely exposed me. Because this is the guy that Ruben Amorim has decided to abandon his midfield for. To put Bruno in the midfield, this is what this guy is saying. I could play it safe. I could make backwards or sideways passes, but that's not the player I am. If I did that, I'd not be useful to the team. So he's basically saying, I will never be that guy that maintains position, plays with discipline, keeps possession, plays the simple pass. And that's exactly the profile of a midfielder. And to have Bruno Fernandes sat there this week basically saying, I'm not going to stop playing risky balls. I'm not going to stop people saying Bruno gives the ball away too easily, because that's what I do. I'm never going to be that player that just plays the simple pass. And that is incredible when you're looking at games like Monday night and many other games, and you're watching Bruno not pick up the runners, and you're looking at Man United's possession being crap and an inability to hold on to the lead. It's not just scoring goals, because people will go, yeah, but he gets assists. But hold on a minute. When Man United get in front in a game, how many times do we hold on to that lead? If you think about Spurs, you think about Forest, you think about Bournemouth, you think about West Ham, how many times do we not hold on to a lead because we haven't got the players in the midfield to just go, calm it down, let's keep the ball, let's calm the game down. It's not, you know, keeping the ball and passing sideways is not just about, you know, I get, look, it's not Bruno's fault. He's a number 10 and he's never going to change. Simple as that. But from a manager perspective, it just exposes the stupidity of what you're doing with Bruno. Like, you know, no wonder you can't hold on to a lead. You've got a player that just will not play with discipline to maintain possession. And that's your biggest mistake. And the player that you're doing it with is even saying it. Now, I've always felt that Bruno doesn't like playing in the midfield. I think he will do it for the team. I don't think he will like the criticism he gets, but I think he will do it for the team. And he's still putting in the numbers because he takes the free kicks and the corners and he pushes forward. But I don't think he wants to play in the midfield. And I think it's, you know, I think it's a massive, massive mistake. But I think when you've got the player that's playing in the midfield basically saying to the world, I'm not going to play this role the way I should do. I am not going to play the simple pass. I am not going to play backwards. I'm going to keep doing what I do because that's what I do. Well, I'm sorry. I don't need to sit here anymore and say Bruno's not a midfielder because he's told us all himself. He just doesn't have it in him, and he's not going to have it in him. And that, to me, falls onto the manager without 100%. You know, 100. Sorry. It falls onto the manager 100%. Wraith says, it just shows what a narcissist he is. I'll keep doing what I want, even though it's detrimental to the team. This is why I can't wait for him to leave. Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, if he is being told to do something else and refuses to do it, then why would Amorim not drop him? I presume Amorim is putting him in there and saying, play the way you want. You know, I mean, have you ever known a midfield pivot free player, free roamer? You know, have you ever played Football Manager or anything like that, and on your midfield pivot player said, have a free roam, free roll? I mean, you know, no wonder we concede so many goals. We're playing some weird shit at the moment. We've got a very good attack. I think our defence is okay. But our midfield is, it's a polo, isn't it? It's the mint with a hole. KC says, if Amorim is going to change his formation to four at the back, would you play 4-5-1? Would work as he can still use wingers, wingbacks in a modified system. This is KC gaming. I mean, look, I mean, I have got the preview coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. I don't really know what to say about the changing formation because I just find it crazy. I find it crazy. We sacked Erik ten Hag playing a 4-3-3. So I'm not one of those people that thinks 4-3-3 is going to solve our problems. We've sacked loads of managers playing 4-3-3. Still got the same players. And this manager is not a 4-3-3 manager. So I just sort of find it scary on two levels. One, these players will still be shit. And two, Amorim's basically abandoning what he's all about. It's scary. Scary that he might do that. Am I Onana blind or is Lemens really good? Says Lev. I don't have a problem with Lemens. I don't know why people have a problem with Lemens. I think it's just fashionable in this fan base to build a player up for a few weeks and then knock them down. We've become obsessed with it. And I've seen a lot of criticism for Lemens, and I just didn't see it. I don't see what he did wrong on Monday. In fact, he rescued us in stoppage time. Rio's Bruno Glaze was pathetic. Stats and De Bruyne as United 777. Look, I'm not here to talk about Rio Ferdinand. I think he is up the arse of Amrin, Bruno, Man United and everything else because they're giving him access to the club at the moment. And that's the only way you're going to get access to Man United, because trust me. So, you know, Rio's gone down that path. A lot of people have watched the interview. There's room for everybody, you know, fair play. It's but you're not going to get anything real from him because he will blow his relationship with United. So he's going to be very positive about everything. As long as you go into that with your eyes wide open, I don't really see a problem with it. Devils says, I think Mainoo did that T-shirt thing on purpose because he knows that doing something like this would piss Amrin and that's his best way out. Look, I saw something this morning about Mainoo, actually. Let me just bring that in. So, effectively, where did this come in from about Mainoo? So, we've got some updates on Semenyo and a couple of other bits as well I want to talk about as well. But this, I saw it on the Manchester Evening News. It said Manchester United would need an exceptional offer to part ways with Mainoo in the January transfer window. The transfer window is about to open with a host of clubs being linked with a move for Mainoo over the last few months. Sky Sports has reported that United are not keen on parting ways with Mainoo and would only consider allowing the England international to leave permanently in January rather than on loan. They claim it would take an exceptional offer to convince Amrin's side to cash in, with the likes of Chelsea and Napoli linked with a move for the England international. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? So I'm just reading that again. Sky Sports are saying that United are only keen on parting ways with Mainoo and would only consider allowing him to the England international to leave permanently rather than on loan. I mean, that's the first time I've heard that. That is on the Manchester Evening News right now. Sky Sports report that Man United would only consider Mainoo going permanently in January rather than on loan. I mean, that's just... Is that a mistype or what? I mean, that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. The obvious thing is to loan him out. I mean, we did this with Rashford. We did it with Antony. We shouldn't be selling him. What if Amrin fucks this season up and gets sacked and we've sold Mainoo in January? I mean, that's just incredible to me to do that. I realise some people want to sell him after this week, but I still think, you know, 20 years of age, you know, there is a way back. I did say it about Garnacho, and obviously there never was. Just on Garnacho, by the way, what a knobhead. I mean, come on. I've only just remembered this. So he liked a post about something to do with freeing Mainoo, didn't he, this week? I mean, if I was a Chelsea fan, I'd be like, mate, you play for Chelsea. Stop being such a beg trying to stick the knife in on Man United every chance you can because they sold you. I just think, what a classic knobhead. Like, somebody was mentioning it to me that Garnacho would like to post about freeing Mainoo. And I thought, you know, it's like Sancho all over again, isn't it? When he left and he was typing freedom. They're obsessed with Man United. You've signed for somebody else. Go on, like Reece James's posts. What are you getting involved in Man United for? Like trying to justify. We sold you, mate. We sold you. Amrin told you to do one. Like, deal with it. Move on. You know? It's incredible. I really liked what Scott McTominay said, actually. Just on that for a moment. Let me read you this comment from Scott McTominay, because there is this myth. Well, he said it. Basically, Scott McTominay was asked about players leaving Man United and getting better. And he said, I disagree. It's too easy of an excuse. I think it's too easy to say that. Whenever I was there, they helped me with everything. Tactically, training, nutrition, everything is there for you to succeed. It's not like they don't give you certain things that other clubs do. It's a myth. Because the spotlight is directly on you, it makes it seem a lot worse. In my last year, I did well. I scored 10 goals and we won a trophy. And it's quite refreshing for a player to not use that as an excuse, because it was teed up for McTominay to do that. And I think what he was basically saying is, look, it's hard at Man United, but it's not an excuse. It's not, you can't just go and play for Napoli or Chelsea and say, well, it's an impossible job at Man United. I think he's saying it's a hard job, but it's a myth that, you know, you just go and play somewhere else really well because Man United's a badly run club. Of course it's a badly run club, but I think what McTominay gets is what many of us get. It takes a certain type of player to succeed at Manchester United, and we've recruited the wrong type of player consistently for a very long time, which is why I worry about Belaba, because I think he's displaying traits that may not be the type of player we need at Man United. You know, the inconsistency, the struggles, you know, not being able to deal with pressure. That's the sort of player I think may not be the sort of player that should be coming to Manchester United. So I thought it was quite refreshing of Scott McTominay to say that, because I think there is this, you know, Garnacho approach that, oh, I'm at Chelsea now and, you know, everything's better. Mate, you probably sat on the bench more at Chelsea than when you were at Man United in your last season. That's the funny thing about Garnacho. He probably technically is sat on the bench more at Chelsea than he ever did at Man United last season. So, you know, oh, I'm in a happier place, I'm cooking, and, you know, a myth. It's a nonsense. It's a nonsense. I think the problem with Man United is that we create, nurture and purchase the wrong characters. So when you talk about Mainoo, to me, I think that I think selling him in January would be a big call. And I don't agree with that. I think the loan deal has to happen. The sale is a bad thing to do. And keeping him, I'm not so sure either. I think it's an interesting one. But I heard, just obviously, we spoke about this in depth last night and through the week about this bloody T-shirt. Ben Jacobs yesterday was saying that, as he understands it, Mainoo knew about it and was supportive of the T-shirt. I've seen a few people trying to call Ben Jacobs a liar today without actually giving any evidence. I've known Ben Jacobs for quite a while now, and he's not the type of journalist that would just make something up. So, you know, I would almost challenge Mainoo, if he thinks it's a lie, to come out, call it a lie and prove it, because I think Ben Jacobs has probably got the evidence that Mainoo knew about it. Reading between the lines, I think he knows Mainoo knew about it. I think he knows that Mainoo supports it. So, look, if somebody thinks that Mainoo didn't know about it, why hasn't Mainoo come out and said something in the last 4 days? So, you know, I'd love him to come out and say he didn't know anything about it, but I think he might find that something or two, a couple of things come out to prove that he did. I also have seen, and I'd completely forgotten about this, because I like the player and I want him to play. I want him to play on Sunday. I want him to stay. I might be in the minority, but that's my stance. I also remember as well, like, somebody was online earlier, a lot of people are online earlier, and they were saying about Mainoo, all this nonsense that he's kept his nose clean and not done anything. What about the reference to that drumming film where he put a picture of that guy who was the drummer? I can't remember the name of the film, Whiplash. I remember commenting on it at the time a few months ago, and I got a load of shit for it because people were like, are you taking it out of context? If you've watched that film, that's about a guy who's working really, really hard, who feels he's being, you know, almost bullied by his mentor and, you know, not treated very well. Great film, as G-Man says. So, look, Mainoo hasn't not hinted at his unhappiness. He wanted to go. I'm with you, Brian. I'd forgotten all about the Whiplash picture from Mainoo. So, look, he's not happy. He's not happy. And I think he genuinely feels that Amrim is ruining his career. Now, if I was in his shoes, I've got to be honest, I'd feel exactly the same. And I would expect most of you to as well. You know, I would look at it and go, the only difference is I'd be Mainoo. I'd be a 20-year-old player ready to play for Man United, but I'd still have the same opinions. I'd be like, the midfield is shit. I'm not getting any chances. You know, he's ruining my career. It's a World Cup year. I think I could be playing for somebody doing well and they won't let me go. So I would have all those frustrations, 100%. It's just the way you behave with those frustrations. I don't think anybody's got a problem with Mainoo being frustrated. It's just the behaviour this week is just slightly embarrassing, isn't it? More dramas than matches this season. Well done, United, to Seth. Robert McCormack says he's going to go 4-3-3 to get Kane, Rashford and Scott McTominay. Where would Scott McTominay fit in a 4-3-3? I mean, it's just interesting on Mainoo as well. I think I saw James Ducker talking about it earlier on. He basically was saying that in his article that Ruben Amorim believes Mainoo is better suited to playing in a midfield three and does not consider him a natural number six. I mean, I don't disagree with that. From Amorim's side, I think Maynou does work better in a three, but I think Bruno Fernandes works better in a midfield three. I mean, look, we can play that game with everybody. You know, I think some people would read that and go, oh, that's why Amorim won't pick Maynou then, because he doesn't suit his system, so therefore he's got to sell him. But Bruno doesn't suit his system. Dalot doesn't suit his system. I think there's a lot of players that I don't necessarily know that Mbeumo suits his system. I think Mbeumo plays better in a 4-3-3 wide right. So I think there's a number of players that don't suit his system, if I'm being completely honest. Rajav says McTominay's aura is in unreal, proper red mark. Thank you very much for that. Rajav says, what's your thoughts on Roy Keane's comments on Maynou? Well, it was more on his brother, wasn't it, where he called him an idiot. And Rajaf also says, I was ecstatic when Maynou broke out. His cool, calm aura was unreal. But when Ben Jacobs broke that on the United stand, it's truly shocked me. Thank you very much for that. OK, well, interestingly, I'm just going to delve back into transfers for a moment because we have got a comment. Well, we haven't got a comment. We've got a poll here that says, who would you prefer, Ruben Neves or Conor Gallagher? So I just want to give you a bit of an update on what's going on with these two, fresh this morning from a conversation with somebody who will probably put it out themselves. So I'll leave them to do it. But effectively, Chris Wheeler last night broke that Manchester United may well be in for Ruben Neves. I nearly said João Neves then. We all got excited. For £20 million, apparently the Saudi league are willing to let him go. And he's looking for a return to the Premier League. He's 28. He'll be 29 in March. £20 million. Portuguese. So you can see how, you know, that could work. Also, but the interesting thing is Ineos do not like spending money on people over 26. And as I said, he'll be 29 in March. So, you know, who knows with that. Conor Gallagher. 25. We tried to sign him in August. There is the potential that we go back in there. We did hold talks last week again with through intermediaries. So very much on the agenda. 54% of you would go with Ruben Neves. 46% of you would go with Conor Gallagher. My stance is don't really care. I don't really care. I'd be very, very happy with either. And if we got both and dropped Bruno and Casemiro, I'd be even happier. I think we'd actually finish top four. So I don't mind which we go for there. I think the thing that really I wanted to talk about for a moment that's sort of getting into my head is, are we being played here? Are we being spun here? Because I'm so used to January transfer windows where we don't do anything until really late, where we sort of talk about it's not the transfer market that we want to use. We will get linked to players, but we don't actually go out and do it. And what I'm noticing about the last couple of days is that we're going all out for this. We're definitely going to do that. And realistically, from the numerous reports we've had over the last couple of days, you could easily interpret it that we're going to really try and sign Semenyo and we're going to really try and sign a midfielder, which could be upwards of £80 million. Now, that's how a football club should be behaving in January when they're as shit as we are. Like, I in no way, shape or form am I going, oh my God, we're going to spend £80 million in January. What's going on? I mean, this is exactly what Man City did last year. It's exactly what Chelsea have done for a few years. Liverpool have done it. This is what we should be doing with the numerous holes that we have in our team and the numerous bad results we've had this season. We absolutely need to get European football, and it's on a knife edge at the moment. It's very thin ice. We don't have any inclination that we're definitely going to get Europe. We might end up without it. So we need to go and plug those holes. The flip side is, how many times have we been played? You know, how many times have we been lied to? How many times have we been spun? It's not a good week for Man United on the pitch because of Bournemouth and Villa on Sunday could be a bad result. So are we just part of that PR spin that we're fully aware of where we're going to do this, we're going to do that because they're just distracting us from reality? And that's what worries me a little bit. You know, you can go all in for Semenyo, but if he signs for Man City or Liverpool, oh, wow, we did try. Do we actually have the funds to get Semenyo and a midfielder, or are we going to end up, you know, with nothing or a loan deal? In which case, you know, I don't know. I'm very encouraged by the Semenyo story, but I do worry about whether we've actually got the money to do it. People think with 4-3-3, Mainoo will play. I see a 4-1-4-1 with Casemiro in front of the back four, Mount, Cunha or Xerxes helping Bruno, and two wingers. Look how much Ruben Amorim talks about Mount's defence every chance he gets, says Seth. Yeah, remember Casemiro is suspended on Sunday as well. Tom Grant just says, just thinking about it for Mainoo, do certain contracts have a thing where they have to play so many games, like how FIFA has crucial, important, etc.? They do exist, Tom. They are like the most kept, best kept secret in football. There are, I don't know what NDAs may be, but they don't even get spoken about very much when a player is left. But I categorically know from speaking to a number of ex-players that you do have things in your contract. I mean, Football Manager didn't just make them up, let's put it that way. So there will be minimum minutes, expectations, etc. like that. But you've got to be a good player to have that. I don't think Mainoo will have it in his contract that he's got to play a certain amount of games, because effectively he's still very much on a youth player contract. I mean, I think he's, I say only, but comparable to someone like Delo, who's probably on, you know, 70, 80 grand a week. I think Mainoo's on about 20, 25, isn't he? Loaning Mainoo is the wrong decision, says Dave the Brave. If he goes and has a stinker, he is worth nothing in the summer. Straight sail or keep, says Dave. Personally, I think Mainoo's going to stay. I think Mainoo will stay at Man United. I don't think that we will move him on in January. And I think that could cause more problems. But look, I was thinking about this last night. If you're Amorim, you've not really shown a massive amount of interest in Mainoo anyway. So when this T-shirt stuff happens, there's got to be some reaction to it. I mean, what's that reaction going to be?
Now it's time for a little word from today's podcast sponsor. And as a preview, they have a great discount for you. It's been a long season so far, and after a year of grinding, you've earned a little something special for yourself. This upcoming festive season is all about taking a break, recharging, and actually enjoying the things you want. And that's where Air Up comes in. Air Up lets you drink plain water that tastes full of flavour through scent alone. No sugar, no additives, just simple hydration made better. And for someone who spends as much time talking football as I do, it's been a great addition to the routine. If you want to try it for yourself, hit the link in the show notes or visit airup.link/theunitedstand. And of course, you can use the code GOLD and you get an amazing 10% off at checkout. So what are you waiting for? Smash the link in the show notes or visit airup.link/theunitedstand and elevate your hydration game today.
Not a player that he appreciates anyway, so maybe he will pick him on Sunday. I hope he does. But does it mean it's part? He's part of his long-term plans? I don't think he was, so I don't think he will be. But I think he'll be very much driven by who and what he can get in January. I mean, worst-case scenario for Mainoo is that United get a Ruben Neves in and Mainoo becomes fourth or fifth choice midfielder behind Bruno, Casemiro and Ruben Neves. And we don't let him go. So, you know, I don't necessarily think he will go. Sriram says, I think Mainoo will outlast Amorim. I think with Amorim, to be honest, the one good thing about this week is that most of the conversation has been about Semenyo, Mainoo, leaking of the formation and Bruno. And that's been a good week for Amorim, because I've said it so many times, like, I can't believe United fans who are happy with Monday night because it was entertaining. I didn't find that entertaining. I found it very, very stressful, very, very confusing and very, very irritating. I completely agree that for a Monday night game where you get eight goals, it must be great to watch. But I'm like, we're Manchester United. Why are we conceding four goals? Why do we need two big saves from Lemens to stop us from losing that game? My eyes are wide open. I know when you have eight goals in a game, it's entertaining, but we very nearly lost that game. And I think a lot of these stories that have come out this week have been a godsend for Amorim, because he's not been spoken about much at all. And we've got a very difficult game on Sunday. I'm interested by his press conference, though. I'm in a lucky position, because I'm doing the press conference reaction at 1:30 today because Beth is off. And I don't normally get to do it. But I actually think he's going to get asked a lot of questions. which are going to be very interesting to hear his response around Mainoo, around the formation, around Bruno, around transfers. So it should be a really good interview because there's four or five questions that are really interesting. But look, I'm not diverting from the question. Will Mainoo outlast Amorim? Look, there's still a world where Marcus Rashford is playing for Man United next season and Amorim's not here. So I'm not going to sit here and say it's impossible that Mainoo couldn't outlast Amorim. I certainly think from Ineos's point of view, they want Amorim to outlast Mainoo. So the only way I think that would happen is if we absolutely plummet in the second half of the season. Because I actually think, just momentarily moving away, I personally think that if Amorim finishes eighth or above, he'll stay. Even if we don't get Europe, I think they'll keep him. And that's scary, but that's how badly run I think this football club is and how stubborn I think they are. I think if he finishes eighth, they will keep him. Even if we're not in Europe, they'll give him another chance because they're going to look so stupid for sacking him and it's going to cost them money. So I think he will stay even if we finish eighth and don't get Europe. So Mainoo outlasting Amorim, I'd probably say Amorim will outlast Mainoo if I had to be pushed on it, really. Why do you think that buying a man that chose Saudi instead of having a good... Sorry, why do we think that buying a man that chose Saudi instead of having a good career, that is a bad mentality and isn't going to change the player culture, says Rayo. I actually completely agree with this, and I didn't even mention it last night, even though I did think it, and I'm sure you've all thought it. Ruben Neves went to Saudi in his mid-20s. He's got every right to do that. I mean, I don't think anybody can knock somebody that just goes, this is going to be generational money for my family for generations to come long after I'm gone. It's an incredible amount of money. But what does that say about the mentality of the player? Look, he may have gone there and gone, I've earned the money now, I want to come back and really focus on my football and be very focused on it. But I don't think it's an unfair thing to say. Also, Jordan Henderson's come back from Saudi and done, you know, worked very hard for Brentford. So, look, it might be a consideration, Rayo, but it's not necessarily, definitive. Gravy on Everything says, Rashford, Pogba, Sancho, Garnacho all got multiple second chances. Does Mainoo not get one? If I was Amorim, I would start him for three games saying, prove me wrong. I've been saying this for a long time. Half a game against bloody Grimsby is not enough, you know. He's 20 years of age. You've got to give people a chance. He's given Casemiro and Bruno enough chances, hasn't he? Damien says, Mainoo sale over loan makes sense as they get cash. And Andy Atherton says, I don't think we will sign a centre midfielder in January. Neves or Gallagher would want 100k plus a week. So United are happy to keep Mainoo on 30k until the summer. Oh, it's a great point, but it's a depressing point, Andy. And you're probably quite right. If you loan Mainoo, you don't really make any money. And his wage is going to be way less than Ruben Neves, who apparently is on 300 grand a week in Saudi, and Conor Gallagher is probably on 150 in Madrid. So, yeah, you make a depressing point, yes. Not to do with a T-shirt, Ugarte has to play Sunday, says Robert McCormack. I personally think you might be right anyway. I think there is a way of not starting Mainoo on Sunday if you don't want to. I want to see him start. I thought we were better on Monday when he came on. I thought Casemiro is quite poor, but there is definitely a way that he doesn't need to do it, certainly. Just talking about the old spin, I don't know whether you saw this, but I'm sort of despairing of this week. It's predominantly been coming out in the mail, really. But there's loads and loads and loads and loads this week about... I don't even know what the angle is. It's very derogatory to Man United over the last few years. But ultimately, the angle is that Ineos have done good. And this is what it says in the mail. Sir Jim Radcliffe has definitely made mistakes since taking over from the Glazers, but two big errors stand out, and Sir Jim might even admit them. First, they extended Ten Hag's contract in the summer of 24 and gave him £200 million for players. Secondly, the brief hiring of Ashworth is to blame for the first. Efforts to replace Ten Hag with Thomas Tuchel didn't work out. Sources close to Tuchel, now managing the England national team, say that the hiring attempt was poorly handled. There were four interviews with what Tuchel felt were pointless questions, and ultimately they parted without any offer being made. I don't know why we're being subjected to this myth that Ineos have done a good job, but it just seems to be a bit of a landslide this week. They're even talking about Carrington and how good Carrington is, and it was the first thing that Sir Jim wanted to do, and you know, there wasn't enough desks for the workers and all this stuff. And I'm sort of like, so are we now sitting here nearly 2 years after Ineos got into bed with the Glazers and trying to protect and promote them? You can't blame Dan Ashworth because you didn't sack Ten Hag and get Tuchel. As the boss of a company, I can't blame Beth for anything if I'm the boss. And Sir Jim Ratcliffe can't blame Dan Ashworth. He must have listened to Dan Ashworth, you know? That's what I'm trying to say. So I also think as well, in hindsight, Ten Hag had finished eighth and won the FA Cup. Amrim's just finished 15th and, you know, embarrassed us against Spurs. So contextually, there's this myth around Erik ten Hag that he was actually a failure. I mean, when they sacked him, wasn't he like 3 points off fourth or something like that, which people would be getting the tissues out for now. So I don't think keeping Ten Hag was a mistake. I don't. And I think the only mistake that really is worth talking about, if we're going to go back in the past at the moment, is the appointment of Ruben Amorim. Erik ten Hag won two trophies in 2 years and they sacked him because they didn't like him. Ruben Amorim has been here a year, has the lowest win ratio out of any manager in our Premier League history. We're not playing good football. We're ridiculously inconsistent, and he's about to abandon the formation they recruited him for. So I'm a little bit reluctant to, you know, give credit to stories that are trying to go back and rewrite the past to glaze the present. I think Jose Mourinho, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Erik ten Hag, they can look at their eras at Man United with a semblance of credibility. Ole finished second, Mourinho finished second and won a couple of trophies, and Ten Hag won two trophies in 2 years. Trying to go back and ridicule that because things are better now, I don't think things have ever been so bad at Man United. I think 15th and losing to Spurs in a final is the lowest it's ever been. So if we're going to go back to the past to try and glaze Ineos, I would say your biggest mistake at the moment was appointing Amorim. And that's not on Amorim, that's on you. You appointed a guy that plays a distinct system and didn't think you needed to give him the players to play it. And right now, the jury's out on that decision. And right now, that manager is being pressured out of necessity to become something he isn't. And that's on you. So stop talking about bloody Ten Hag or Dan Ashworth. You are in charge. Welcome to the real world. You're in charge. And the only decision I think anybody's interested in at the moment is whether your decision to appoint Ruben Amorim is going to work out. And you can't try and distract us by starting to talk about what happened 2 years ago in the summer. It's about what happens right here, right now. And that brings me back to the January transfer window. Are you spinning us, or are you actually going to do what needs to be done and get a midfielder and maybe Semenyu in as well? Because that would be two statement signings that would give us a massive chance of getting into Europe, which is surely a necessity this season. And that's what gives me hope that it might not be spin, because, you know, I'm not sat in the boardroom looking at the figures, realising that if we're not in Europe again next season, we're fucked. Because I think we are. I do. And I suppose that's a positive. I think if we're not in Europe next season, we're in massive trouble. Massive trouble. And I think it finally might give them a kick up the arse to actually go out and do something in the January window. Because I'm telling you now, if you think this squad is getting you in the top five, that's like throwing a dice and thinking you're going to throw a six. You might do, but there's a very big chance you won't. So they need to go and spend. Patrick Lynch says, not enough desks. Is that why they sacked half the workforce so they don't have to build less? The only efficiency fans want to know about is with transfers, managers and players. The rest is just noise, says Patrick. Yeah, and look, you know, I think Dan Ashworth was a bad appointment. I think Ten Hag did need to go. But why are we looking back at that? Why are we looking back at that and then trying to pretend we're in a better position now? Like, the cold, harsh facts are, whatever you think about Erik ten Hag or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer or anybody else, the cold, harsh facts are that since Ineos came in 2 years ago, their win ratio is worse than we had under the Glazers. You know, game for game, we are winning less games than we were before. And that's before you start talking about everything else you don't like. They're not doing a good job. All they're doing is talking a good job, but they're not doing a good job. Nobody is doing a good job. That's why Ruben Amorim comes out and says, look, you know, Paul Scholes taking a pop at me. I sort of have to take it on the chin because it is my fault. They're not doing a job. They're not. A few people talking about Semenyu going to Man City, go and get Yildiz. Yildiz has been linked to Manchester United. I just can't remember who did it. I might be able to find it for you. I put a note down somewhere yesterday. Here it is. It was Ben Jacobs yesterday. Says Yildiz is another name Manchester United like. I mean, we've been linked to Yildiz a couple of times. I do like him, but I mean, there's an element of risk to that. Italian league, adjusting to the Premier League at Man United, it can be quite difficult. So, you know, maybe we could do a swap deal with Xerxes. I mean, there was a very big statement from Ben Jacobs yesterday that was Xerxes wants to leave Man United. Roma feels Xerxes wants to leave Man United and they're active and serious about loaning him in January. So, you know, that's an outgoing that I think will happen if Semenyu comes in, which will leave some of us very, very disappointed because I actually like Xerxes. But he will be the make weight. 100%. There's no way that we're not going to move somebody on if we bring somebody in like Semenyu. I think it will be, you know, absolutely nailed on that he will go. I think Ogarte will be sold before Mainoo, says Zaz. Sorry, I'm yawning a lot this morning because, as you know, if you watch the evening show, I had a few. House of Zom says Daily Mail is a Tory paper and Radcliffe is a Tory funder. Andy Atherton says, I'm getting some free Delo Shaw t-shirts printed. No, sell Delo, sell Shaw. That's the idiocy, isn't it, of wearing a t-shirt saying free Mainoo. Like, what's next? You know, it'll become another theme, like the half and half scarf, where loads of people are turning up with sell this player. Start this player. It's crazy, really. It really is. Marlow United says that Bruno is missing the point. We love him for creating and taking risks, but he's saying he could be disciplined if he wants. He needs to know when and when not to take a risk. Look, ultimately, Bruno Fernandes saying that he's not going to change. He's not going to play the simple pass. He's not going to play the back pass. He's going to keep playing the risky ball. It is arrogant. Of course it is. But his stats back it up. The issue with it is you can't have that type of player in the midfield. So either Amorim is letting him do that in the midfield or he's not doing his job. Well, if he wasn't doing his job, I'd expect him to have been dropped. So Amorim must be allowing him to play that way in the midfield, which is incredibly naive in the Premier League. And I'm sorry, he's wrong. And he can sit there in an interview and say he's right, but he's wrong. It's nearly Christmas. Bruno's been in the midfield all season. His assists are great, but most of them happen because he's doing things that a number 10 would do, like, you know, running forward, taking free kicks, taking corners. From a midfield perspective, we're conceding way too many goals, and that is because you're putting him in the midfield and we have low possession. And when we get in front, we give up the lead because we can't control the ball. And all those things would be solved by having a midfielder that can and is disciplined. He's not positionally disciplined. He's not disciplined on the ball. He doesn't want to just keep possession for possession's sake. All those things are really important in a midfielder, and he can't do them. That's on the manager, and he must be willingly doing that. When are you going to sell free Inanna shirts, says Robert McCormack? Well, I'm actually thinking, should we start printing some of these T-shirts ourselves? Not free Mainu. I mean, God, no. We wear a three... Arake CV says, we were a three-star Michelin star restaurant under Sir Alex. We have degraded to a zero star, but built us up again is not one chef away. It's going to take time. We can have standards, but standards without realism are just delusion. Mate, I completely agree. And I think there's a lot of us out there that are willing to be patient and positive when we see a vision. There is no vision, in my opinion, at the moment. There is no vision. I think we're desperate to get behind something, but I don't know what we're meant to be getting behind at the moment, because it's very, very confusing. I saw a comment, I think it was from James Ducker the other day, about how Amrim's got to make a decision about how and what he's going to do with, if he goes to a back four, is Martinez ready to play, or are you going to play Luke Shaw there? There's lots of things, isn't there? This caught my eye a little bit. Manchester United will seek a meeting with Howard Webb in the new year after being left bruised by a series of controversial decisions. Officials at United feel they've been on the wrong end of major calls on a number of occasions, and they will now seek out Webb, who runs PGML, for crunch talks. I don't know what I think about that, because everybody is a victim of PGMOL. And I just feel like it's... I might be completely wrong on this, but my perception is we're all being sort of spun around a bit this week to distract us from what happened against Bournemouth, because there's so much going out there. You know, just heard about bloody the Ten Hag and all this, and you're like, what, why is that? And it's almost like we're just being bombarded with nonsense to distract us from reality. Why are we speaking to Howard Webb? Does anybody actually feel that we've been robbed or mistreated by the PGMOL this season any more than anybody else? I mean, I speak to Villa fans quite regularly, and I always say to them, I can't believe nothing ever happened based on your last game of the season at Old Trafford, where you missed out on Champions League football because a goal you scored that was legitimate didn't get given at 0-0. They needed to win to be in the Champions League. It's 0-0. They scored a legitimate goal and it got overruled. And you missed out on Champions League football because of it. And there was no apology and nobody did anything about it. And that's one of the biggest fuck-ups I've ever seen. So I'm sure we have been a victim, but everybody else, no more than anybody else. So why are we asking for a conversation with Howard Webb? Because again, it's almost, I feel like it's a bit of propaganda. Oh, United are going to go and speak to the naughty, bad, crap, shit PGMOL. Yeah, because we're victims. Well, I don't think we're victims at all. I don't think we're victims at all. I think we've had some bad decisions go against us, but I think a lot of teams have. And again, it's almost like excuses to try and subvert the blame to somebody else. I mean, look, if you're thinking about Monday and Semenyo being sent off at 1-1, we lost to Everton with 10 men. Everton had 10 men. I didn't want him to get sent off. So if Man United are going to go and moan at the PGMOL because Semenyo wasn't sent off, I don't think we would have won if he had been sent off. So I don't know what we're actually moaning about. I really don't. I don't rate the PGMOL. I think they're absolutely terrible. But I don't think we've been unlucky in any game that's cost us. We're trying to say is we are where we deserve to be. Like Brentford deserve to beat us. I know we should have had a. Nathan Collins should have been sent off. Absolutely. But again, playing against 10 men, we still probably would have lost. Man City deserve to beat us. Fulham deserved a draw. Spurs should have beat us, we got a draw. Forest deserved a draw. Everton deserved to beat us and they had a man sent off. West Ham deserved to get a draw. Every point we've dropped, I think we've got to look at ourselves, really. I think you forgot my super chat, says Ood. I always go back through them. I'll go back now. I can't see Ugarte getting sold because I don't think anybody's going to go for him. Essentially, I don't really understand who would go for Ugarte. I think Ugarte would have to be a loan deal. Ood says, regarding Maino, I'm not saying he's guilty till we've got all the facts. Jacob said to his understanding, which isn't 100% innocent until guilty. Mate, think what you like. There's still a lot of people out there that like Maino and want him to start, and I'm one of those players. I'm one of those fans. But as I said, he could have come out, like Roy Keane was alluding to, very, very quickly and said, I'm completely against this. He hasn't done it. And he should have done it. Marcus, random question. You to the US for the World Cup. Black Wolf. I don't know. I don't know what my World Cup plans are at the moment. Suffice to say, we will be doing stuff on That's Football. But I don't know what my plans are. Talking about Marcus, though. Good report this morning coming out of Spain that Barcelona are leaning more towards keeping him than letting him go, come back. So, really good. I'm just looking at Rio Ferdinand's tweet. I said it on the Man United tour. I felt it again on Saturday. The vibes in the dressing room feels together and a good feeling. Mate, I wish you'd just stop working with Man United and go back to talking shit on your own channel. What are you talking about? I felt the vibes were good in the dressing room. Mate, have you looked at the league table? We've took 2 points from 9 at home. You played for Man United. You know the fucking standards. We're talking about good vibes in the dressing room. For God's sake. When did we stop actually having results as the priority for Manchester United? Good vibes in the dressing room, for fuck's sake. We just finished 15th last season. We lost to Spurs in the final. We're not having a particularly great season this year. It's very up and down. But apparently the dressing room's really pleased. I mean, fucking hell. Proper propaganda. I tell you what, signing up Rio by Man United was a really good idea because he is just going to spin the positives. The dressing room vibes are really good. We've just fucked up a 4-0 lead to draw 4-all. I know it wasn't 4-0 at any time, but I couldn't give... I'd rather they did... You know, Andy Cole and Teddy Sheringham didn't get on and we won the fucking treble. I couldn't give a shit about good vibes and everybody getting on. I care about results. I'd rather they didn't get in. I'd rather they didn't get on. I'd rather they didn't like each other, but they were professional and they played football for Man United. I couldn't give a shit. Could not give a shit whether they're all smiling and laughing and getting on. The amount of fuck-ups we've seen this season, some of them need to fuck off. Simple as that. You just have to take a deep breath and go, look, this is a business transaction between Rio and Man United, and it's going to be very, very positive. And occasionally you'll get something interesting from it, like what Bruno said, I'm not going to stop being a risk taker. Well, he shouldn't be anywhere near the midfield where you need discipline, and it exposes Amrin, really. What would the vibes be like if Sir Alex Ferguson was in, says Josh? Well, they wouldn't all be walking around with a bloody smile on their face, would they? Because they're doing shit. Nick P says, I propose a Delo Christmas jumper for next year if he's still around. Throw, with his Adonis figure about to launch one into the box. Throw, ho, like ho. I like it. Very good. Right, I'm back with you very soon. I think this is going to be a very interesting press conference with Ruben Amorim today. There's so many different questions that he's going to get asked. And I'm live with you at 1:30. So I will see you back here at 1:30 today for Ruben Amorim's press conference. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. Speak to you soon. Just think in a week's time, Christmas will be over. It'll be Boxing Day. We'll be playing Newcastle. It's not over on Boxing Day. I'm just trying to be a bit of a twat. Take care, everyone. 54% of you would go for Ruben Neves over Conor Gallagher. There we go. Speak to you in a bit.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.